This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, Place to Be Nation universe. This is Chris Zellner, and we are bringing to you the reaction show for Elimination Chamber 2017. Joined, as always, by my co-host here, Johnny Sorrow, is back this week. This month, folks, after being off of the Royal Rumble, and he returns reinvigorated. And I know you're looking forward to talking about this show because you said that you enjoyed this show before we started.
So therefore, not as always.
You have, everybody has their rare moments where they had things to do.
It was real quick. It was one of those things. I made homemade meatball sandwiches and homemade pizzas, and my buddy that I watch everything with, who hasn't been able to be over for like a month and a half, was over, and you know, it was like, want to hang with your pal after the show you haven't been able to see for a while.
Absolutely. I understand that. And we are also joined by our other normal regular panelists as of recently. Devin Hales is here to lend his WWE expertise. And Devin, I know you're hard at work on your 2017 WWE list right now. And I think this year, maybe you're going to be caught up in real time throughout, aren't you?
I think so. Yeah. I'm actually only going to be doing house show stuff, like a long house show list of recommendations. So I won't worry about those as much. And WWE's been really good in ring this year. Like, really good. And it's been their best in ring year in like 2 or 3 years so far at the start. It's early, but they're going really strong so far. So,
and that's a good sign for Mania for sure.
Yes.
Hey, Devin, as far as house shows go, if you can find house show footage of the Raw touring show that was in Broomfield, Colorado last week. I was at that show. It was by far the best house show I've seen out here since I've been out here. It was amazing.
That looked like a fun card. I believe it. They're WWE's clicking on all cylinders, and the house show stuff that I've seen this year has been very good. So I haven't seen anything from that show specifically, but if I find anything, I'll definitely check it out.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the Elimination Chamber. And we had our little pre-show tonight, as usual, with Sam Roberts from the Jim and Sam show on the panel again, making his return. Booker T, of course, and Carmella, who was quite disinterested throughout the whole thing, playing with her cell phone, blah, blah, blah. You know, being pretty much in character the whole time. Ellsworth shows up, you know, says that he wants her to join him in the Skybox to watch the show.
I got Skybox tickets.
It was just hilarious. And we have Becky Lynch in the social media lounge, interviewed by Dasha, who I don't think made any mistakes this time. And, you know, talk about the Mickie James match. But the highlight of this show was... the second time in the past 3 or 4 weeks, JBL tripped on the floor.
Booker was giving him so much shit for this.
Yeah, Booker was killing it. I mean, it was so hilarious. And the last time it happened was when he was trying to make the save for Lawler and the thing with Dolph Ziggler, which eventually led to them naming a jobber on 205 Live Trip Bradshaw. So it makes you wonder what's going to happen now. Will we see the return of Trip Bradshaw on 205 Live? But this was something else.
Here's the thing. I call work on this because that was an actual trip, and they made such a big deal out of this. You know, and he always does two steps down to the ring.
Yeah.
And, I thought they made such a big deal out of this, and the show I'm going all shucks. And I forgot about the fucking jobber. Of course you're going to see him again. And it's like Vince going, you know what's great? We're going to have you trip, pal. Okay, whatever you say, boss.
Yeah.
It seemed a little too convenient
I'm with you, Johnny, on that. But it still was hilarious, though.
I loved it.
Yeah, it still was hilarious. Well, our pre-show match, Curt Hawkins and Mojo Rawley. Now, Mojo's got a little run lately with his new look, I guess you could say, but pretty much the same gimmick in a lot of ways.
He's doing a Jim Morrison gimmick. He's got Mojo Rising on his gear.
Well, as long as he doesn't whip it out in the ring, we'll be all right. But
he's gonna bring out his sheep.
But Curt Hawkins noticeably wearing a top part of the singlet. Looks like Curt Hawkins may have been hitting the buffets a little bit lately. He gained a little weight, so they had the top part of the singlet. But
Are you fat shaming?
No, I'm not fat shaming. I'm just saying it looks like he's added a little weight.
I mean, the guy was brought back to be a jobber with a name, and now you're gonna fat shame him just because he's honoring Sparkplug Bob Holly's gear.
I'm far from the last person to be doing that, but I'm just saying that he's been away for a little while, and looks like he's been enjoying life. But Devin, what'd you think about this pre-show match, huh?
It was fine. I thought it was better than I thought it would be. Curt Hawkins, I mean, he doesn't really do anything for me. I don't think he's terrible. He's just, like, boring and just kind of there. I still really dig Mojo. I love his energy that he brings. I think he's better in tags, but I still think he has fun offense and stuff. And that running punch that he does, that shit connected tonight. Like, they did the slow motion on that, and he popped Hawkins right in the jaw.
He knocked the shit out of him, dude.
He totally did. And Hawkins took a brutal bump on that tilt-a-whirl slam for the finish, too. Like, he landed right on his hip on that bump. It was a nasty bump he took on that. Yeah, I thought it was a fine opener. Mojo's pretty decent at getting the crowd going. He's does better in tags, but I think it was fine.
All right, Johnny, do you think that Mojo needs to keep up with a singles type push for him, or should they find him a new tag partner?
No, they need to keep do the singles thing with him right now, because he's got a lot of potential and he's got a lot of energy and the crowd digs him. And but as far as this match goes, at first I agree. I was like, okay, they're having a fine match. It's nothing bad, but nothing exciting. And then they decide on this pre-show match between these two guys to start doing, like, a lot of kickouts.
Yeah.
and move training. Like, and I thought it was hilarious, but it popped the crowd. It got them more excited about this match. And I just, for these two guys having a little chat, okay, we're going to pop this crowd. You know, no one's going to think we're going to do this, but we're going to give them some excitement, because they did at the end. Because at first it was very paint by numbers, and then it got good, you know, as good as this could get. It got good.
Yeah. I mean, it was a fine match. So nothing harmless there at all. And, I got a point on Mojo I'm going to bring up later on in the show. So we'll see. We'll wait till we get to that part. All right. We go to the main show. And we have three women's matches, so they staggered them out, and we led off with Becky Lynch versus Mickie James, which has had some pretty good promos behind this. But even though Mickie James talks like this, you know, she has been really good in everything she said, and I think she's been a welcome addition to the roster. I thought this was a pretty strong little match here, Johnny. What were your thoughts about Becky and Mickie here? And the finish was kind of, I don't know, interesting to me. What were your thoughts?
Well, the match I thought was really good. And I just want to mention, before we really get into the whole card, I saw a few people going, if this is what passes for a pay-per-view in 2017, count me out. Because you're like, wow, three women's matches. And all this, when all your top guys are in the same main event match, there's a lot of stuff to fill. And
especially with SmackDown's roster.
Yeah. And so therefore you get three women's matches and all this stuff. But then I think everyone worked their ass off, even if they were sloppy or whatever, everyone just worked their ass off. and took advantage of the spotlight. And this match, I thought, was really good. I always liked Mickey James. I like her even more now. There's something about seeing her like a little older, and yeah, and I was like, yeah, she's hotter, basically. I'm like, yeah, she's closer to my age now. I don't feel like a creep. I don't feel like a creep going, oh, she's hot, looking at these young girls. Well, yeah, she's a little closer to my age, and look at her. She's in great shape. And her that kick, her fin, that kick that was her finisher, I thought it looked like it took her head off.
The Mick kick?
The Mick kick, that's it, the Mick kick. And I thought it looked like it took her head off. And I really enjoyed it. I'm trying to remember the fin. I mean, I know... the baby face won, the baby face. But what was weird about the finish? I don't recall.
Wait, hey, Johnny, you know, I'm surprised that you kind of didn't catch this. It wasn't it ironic that she hit the Mick kick on Becky? Well, I mean, Becky's not Irish, but close enough.
Oh, okay. Well, no. Okay. She is Irish.
That's right.
And, I didn't make that association because...
That's right, she is Irish.
No, here's the thing. It'd be racist if the Irish chick, his move was called the Mick kick. The other way around, I don't associate it.
So Mick kick at the Mick.
Her name is Mickey James. I'm like, my brain doesn't go all the way that racist.
I don't know why I thought Becky was Scottish for a second there. Woo. I don't know. It's late. I've been up since 6:30 this morning. But, oh, yeah, the finish was, a roll-up, which we'd see that come later in the show. Ooh. By Becky on Mickey, and I was kind of like, well, what? Okay, I kind of thought Mickey should have maybe won this match, you know, the first singles match in their feud. What do you think, Johnny? You think that it was right move or what?
I think it was the right move. I honestly, I didn't give it that much thought. I was just like, okay, you know, because she's the older person. She's the established star now. There'll be something on SmackDown. It'll probably continue. I really don't know.
Definitely, it's continuing.
Definitely not as, I want to say, well-booked or well-written or well-explained as the other girls' matches we're going to see tonight, where the storylines behind them were far better than this. You know, and the finishes and why it happened. You know, there was, you know, this was, I was like, okay, you know, I guess.
Well, one of them. That's one of them I have issue with.
But I thought I look, everyone goes on again about how, like, oh, Raw, that's where the real women's revolution is. I was like, yeah, SmackDown has three separate storylines and three separate matches on the pay-per-view.
Well, there's a reason for that, you know, Devin. You know, the SmackDown women division is deeper than Raw. So Raw has the star power, but the SmackDown division has the depth. And it's the complete opposite of the male side. You know, Raw has, you know, more of the star power and, I mean, the depth and star power too, but SmackDown has like Cena and Orton and Styles. They have a lot of the big names as well. But, I know that you liked this match a lot. What were your thoughts on how it transpired in the finish?
As far as the finish goes, I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was fine. I kind of saw it as kind of like the first match in the feud, and it will continue on and lead into Mania and some type of match, whether it be singles or multi woman match.
I gotta think it's a multi-woman match for Mania, don't you? For SmackDown, other than Nikki, it's gotta be all the other girls in the match.
I think so too. As far as the match goes, I liked a good bit. I've always liked Mickie James. I think she has to be given credit for kind of having like the best WWE women's match with Trish Stratus at WrestleMania 22 for years until the Four Horsewomen showed up. So
yes,
Mickie has always been pretty good, she's been a nice addition to SmackDown, because SmackDown has a lot of the younger women in the least experienced women on the women's roster. So she's really helping out with that, and I thought she was really good. She really kind of worked almost Finley Regal-esque in the match, with like the knees to the face on the pin attempts and the hammer locks and the arm work and stuff like that. I really appreciated it.
Yeah.
She really showed
hammer locks, old school.
Yeah. She really showed her veteran work in this match. And I thought Becky was good. I thought she did a good job selling the arm. But, you know, Becky always has good fire. She's always over with the crowd. The crowd got really behind her, as always, late in the match. I thought this was a very good match, and yeah, the finish didn't bother me at all.
I guess I'm just old school and thinking the heels always should pretty much win the first match. You know, let's not kill them. You know, first match in. You know, but I'm sure. I mean, definitely more.
But it ain't killed them. But I just wanted, before we move on, add to this, had the first of a lot of crazy shit on the commentary team. I loved it. It was bonkers the way what was going on. As JBL said, we need eight guys out here. But in this one, you know, Otunga kept making the point. She's been gone for 7 years. You know, she didn't have ring rush, gone for 7 years, until finally JBL goes, you know, David, she's not been here for 7 years. She's been wrestling all over the world for the last 7 years. And I was like, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. It was terrible tonight. Terrible night for the announcer tonight. Morrow constantly getting gimmick.
The hell in a cell.
Oh my lord! Okay,
no, let's just—we'll get to it right now. The second time Morrow calls it Hell in a Cell, and they correct them, and he screams, "Damn it!" Like, all I pictured was Tom Phillips sitting over there in his chair, just with a slight smile, biting his tongue.
Oh yeah. I'm sure he probably had his hands up to his nose and his lips, you know. And if you notice, there was a time there. During the intros, during the Bray Wyatt intro, where Mauro was saying nothing. And I'm guessing that's when he was getting yelled at. Because he was silent for a good minute plus. He didn't say nothing. I'm pretty sure he's getting yelled
at. Maybe JBL was purposely jumping on him and busting his balls on the air, trying to protect him. Like going, Vince.
Well, JBL's the voice of Vince, though.
I don't buy that because
he has been for many years. As Vince is in his ears.
Is Vince the one telling him to do Simpsons Brothers references?
But Byron Saxton is the voice of Vince on Raw. That, you know, that JBL, you know, is like the voice of Vince on SmackDown.
I think he goes into business for himself quite often.
He goes into business for himself a lot too. But when it comes time to do what needs to be done as far as making fun of somebody as an announcer or a performer, JBL's the guy that carries out the hit.
I was just giving him the credit for it. He was like, okay, I kind of like this guy. I'm going to shit all over him on the air. So when he gets back, Vince goes, well, I'm not happy. But, you know, JBL already made you look like a fool on the air. So just go.
Yeah. What a mess. All right. Speaking of more messes, we had the first of three of Dasha hanging with Carmella and Ellsworth in the private box. And all of these were just, ugh. Oh. I mean, they were corny.
The best was the last one. When Hogsworth, as Daniel Bryan calls him,
Hogsworth,
told Dasha to scram.
Scram! Eat it.
Yeah, that was the best moment of the whole thing. Yeah,
why I loved it. It built up to him finally, because she was reacting to him, like, and when he finally told her to fucking scram and hit the fucking bricks, she gives him a little glance over, like, oh, I do like him. I thought these were cute. So
yeah, I'm just not a fan of those two. I mean, they took the two people that I pretty much didn't really care for on SmackDown and put them together. So that makes it just, ugh. to me. I don't know.
It's an offensive comedy to me.
That's why they put them together.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's inoffensive. It's just like, it's like, you know, I thought with this show going in, I'm like, how they're going to end up filling, you know, the 3 hour block. Hell, they went fucking over. They went over to that three hours. It's crazy.
Trust me, those 1.5 minute segments isn't.
No. Some of these matches went way long.
Okay. You know what? I want Carmella to win that belt next. Have Ellsworth interfere. They win, and she is like the honky tonk woman with him as her toady. I want that so bad.
You know, I wouldn't put it past them to give her the title. I really wouldn't. But that would mean they're trading this title way too much. It's becoming hot potato. But that's a whole other story. All right, move on to the next match here. A handicap match. Yes, two baby faces versus a heel. Oh. Always great psychology. Apollo Crews and Kalisto versus Dolph Ziggler. And wow, what a great feud this has been so far on SmackDown. Huh? I mean, just stellar. And Devin tonight was even more asinine as, you know, Dolph got rid of Kalisto early and ended up being a one-on-one singles with Apollo. Just totally uninteresting. And Kalisto comes back and Dolph ends up losing, which is even more crazy. And he beats him up after the match. And the fans were cheering him heavily as he was doing this. And, I mean, what does this say for Apollo Crews, man? I mean, it's time for him probably to go back to NXT or something, because this is the end for him.
He's the one who's really been the kind of catalyst for Dolph getting cheers, because the fans like Kalisto. And they just, they don't like Apollo Crews. They don't have any interest in him. There's no reason to cheer for him. It's I kind of feel bad for the guy in some ways. He just doesn't have what he needs to get over with the crowd. As far as the match, I thought it was bizarre. This has been easily my least favorite program on SmackDown in the last month or so. It's kind of back. I like the idea of, you know, Dolph is getting cheered when he's beating up Apollo Crews, so it's not really working when it comes to that. I don't know if it's a weird way for them to want him to be cheered. I don't think that's the plan either. The match didn't do much for me. I thought it was, you know, the handicap psychology, even though they did their best to try to get that out of the way until the very end, was backwards. I don't think this program really helps anybody. I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, Dolph. I mean, Dolph's wearing tights with the American flag on him. I mean, it's just wow. I mean, this.
Yeah, it also has
this program is on it too. Yeah, I mean, the guy is. I don't know where they're going or what they're trying to do. It seems like they're stuck in this feud here between these two, and I guess this is the end. I don't know. But Johnny Dolph is just completely floundering right now. And I think that where they should go right now is they go ahead and program him with Mojo. That's where I think that would be a logical thing to do. Mm-hmm. Mojo, you know, is a guy the fans are into. And I think that could, you know, help Dolph get over more as a heel as to feud with him. So what do you think about that and the match in general?
I think that didn't occur to me. I think that's a brilliant idea. I think that's perfect. That's exactly what they should do. Because Dolph is wrapping it up. You know, he's got other shit, you know, on the burner that he wants to try. And so with a heel turn at the end of your career, basically, you need the guy, you know, the young guy to come up. It's not Crews, but and here's the thing though, this crowd was very what I call, or at least a large loud portion of this crowd, let's just say all men, by the way, very what I call WWE smart fans, the guys who they're still like I love Ziggler, you know, there's still guys who are like, fuck it, he's a great worker.
I'll tell you a perfect example of that was during the Chamber, when a lot of them were singing the Bray Wyatt, the whole world my hands song.
That helped Bray.
I mean, when's the last time they've done that shtick? Yeah.
Exactly. It's the WWE smart fans. And they were like, they're all into it. And I don't think it has anything to do with, they weren't saying thank you, Dolph, for him smashing up Apollo because the Apollo's Apollo. It's because they like Dolph. And now Dolph's being a badass, and they dig it. And it was a bit more of that. And of course, yes, the whole like, oh, you're gonna have a handicap match. Oh, well, it's, well, Daniel Bryan, that's a dumb decision. and the match itself, I thought, was just fine. You know, it was nothing wrong with it. It was very boring, just there. And for me, it was all about these crowd reactions, and also seeing that Kalisto being like, okay, I'm the cruiserweight on this side. You know how Neville has dropped some muscle now that he's a cruiserweight again?
Yeah.
I'm going to be the cruiserweight who puts on that muscle because he's getting thick because he's working in the heavyweight division, and he's got to get that look, and he's got it. But yeah, it was all weird.
yeah. My tweet after the match was that was, huh? That's what I tweeted. Huh? What was that? That was a definite
head
scratcher.
I understand it, but I'm like, you know, sometimes things can make sense and not be effective. So, there you go. And again, this, especially in front of this crowd. You know that they weren't having.
Yeah.
You know they were seeing a guy like go, fuck it, I'm gonna hit someone with a chair. And they're like, yep.
Yeah, and he's just been doing that lately anyway, so there's nothing new. I mean, he's already beat them up with chairs before.
Well, they're just trying to call him the
treading water. What's he, LaPaca now?
He wants to be the chairman of the WWE, and that's the first thing I thought was LaPaca.
All right, next match features more booking craziness, in my opinion. The tag team turmoil match for the SmackDown tag titles. Now, I don't know. I thought going into this match, I don't know if I'm mistaken or whatever, but I could have swore I thought that American Alpha was going to run the gauntlet here. They were going to face all the tag teams. Maybe I was wrong. I don't know. But I kind of had that feeling going in. And then they ended up being the second to last team in the match. And that's what I just thought that, okay, this is weird. But it was interesting to watch. And as always, and this is another thing that's been really interesting lately. And our buddy The Fray Movement on Twitter brought this up. Rhino has gotten like insanely
amazingly over
lately. Lately, for some reason. I mean, it's in different places too. I mean, he's just, the fans are really into him. But, Alpha faced, we had Rhino and Heath Slater and Brazongo and the Vaudevillains and the Usos and the Ascension, all the great tag teams on the SmackDown roster. And that's damn with faint praise. But what a match this is, and Alpha ended up retaining the title. So, Johnny, what were your thoughts about this tag team?
I loved this match, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. They never said that they were gonna have to run the gauntlet. Now they did keep putting over. They challenged all the tag teams. They challenged the locker room. So
that's what I was talking about.
So yes, of course, that's where your mind would go, but they never made that a stipulation and that they went back on or anything. But yeah, I could see where that's where your mind would go. And come on, they're typical American jocks, and they, you know, like, yeah, we're gonna challenge everyone, and we're coming out second to last. Typical American cheaters. I adore Breezango right now. There's nothing that makes me happier in wrestling when two guys get saddled with something, get thrown together and saddled with something dumb and just commit to it. Full.
Well, you know, I think the lost segment on this show, I mean, if we're going to have some bullshit on this show, the lost segment of the show was they should have went to the back and pretend like Brazonga was watching the Oscars red carpet, and they were critiquing, I mean, Oscars, but the Grammys, and critiquing the fashion of all the artists that was walking down the red carpet.
Is the Grammys tonight?
The Grammys was tonight. Yeah,
here's the thing, nobody gives a shit about the fucking Grammys.
Well, I think the ratings will tell a different story.
It's always the big joke. I have a Grammy, you know.
I mean, it was killing on Twitter tonight on trending topics. I mean, it was dominating.
The Simpsons used to make fun of the fact that no one gives a shit about the Grammys. You know, come on.
Well, the awards. I mean, the award picks. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. People do watch the show.
They
do.
People watch wrestling. People are dumb, but. When he does the move to Slater and drops those tickets on him, I popped. And I love on the back of their tights, it said the fashion popo with the O on their ass cheeks, and they make them flex. I was like, oh, I adore that. I love when guys, you know, commit to something that they were handed that's shitty, because it's getting over. People like them. excuse me. The Usos beat down. Afterwards, the Alpha, I loved that. And they fooled me, because they gave the Ascension a win on SmackDown, and here comes the Ascension. I was like, fucking the Ascension are gonna fucking win the belts. They're gonna do some sort of, hey, you guys are out of the doghouse now, see, because there's a win on TV, and oh, they're gonna give the Ascension the fucking belts. Because I also know that Rick Victor is very popular backstage. You know, everyone really likes that guy. So I was putting that all in my head. And when they didn't immediately beat them, I was like, oh, American Alpha are going to, like, they're basically going to Hulk up. And, you know, and it'll be the Ascension who loses, you know, which, but they fooled me. And I can't imagine I'm the only person they fooled with that.
I tell you, I thought Ascension was going to win.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Same.
And I had the idea that if it, on Twitter, I said, imagine if they went to a non-finish one with the Usos and Alpha, where they like got both got counted out or something like that, or just and then Ascension wins by default. How amazing would that be?
Like a motherfucker for that.
I would have loved that. I would have loved it.
But yeah, Johnny, I thought they were going to win coming out last. So.
And I got to give them credit. The new, and they also did this. The Ascension have new gear that looks cool. And usually when you see a team have new cool gear, it's a sign that they're going to win the belts. Like, they got to win on SmackDown. They got cool new gear. Like, they're being handed. Nope. Sorry.
Yeah. But wow. I mean, this just tells a story here. Devin about the SmackDown tag division, which we already knew anyway, but wow. this, you know, we talked about it last month on the Rumble show. They got to do some shakeups. I mean, the SmackDown tag division needs shakeup in the worst way. What were your thoughts about how this match ended up? And yeah, I mean, we need that shakeup, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was a fun match. I thought it was, you know, fairly inoffensive. I'm kind of with you, and I think it would have worked a little bit better if Alpha had started and went through the whole gauntlet. But the match was fun. I thought every little mini match within the match was solid and had some good exchanges and good moments. Yeah, Rhino is insanely over. Like he's getting like. When, you know, Chris Jericho and all these other guys come back, you know, pops.
Yes. Well, Devin, see, he reinvented himself just like Jericho and the Miz by having pork chops and shaving his beard. You know,
and that's when it started. Because if you, people were doing the gore stuff and whatever when him and Slater got put together, but Slater was getting all the love.
Yeah.
And Slater got some love tonight, too. But now it's just seemed like his transfer since they've lost the belts, especially since he shaved the facial hair and grew the chops, that the fans are into him more. Yeah,
and here's a neat thing that's happened, because they were totally teasing breaking up the team and Ryan going to be the
Yes.
heel.
Yep.
And it was going to be the heel in that equation, and they
Yes.
totally dropped it. Dropped it.
Yep. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's fascinating to see the crowd reactions for him. And yeah, I enjoyed the match. I thought the Usos elimination was a little was sloppily executed. I just think it was bad. Not that they rolled them up, just the execution was off. And I expect Alpha and Usos to have at least a feud on TV going forward, leading into Mania.
They've been feuding for months, off and on.
Here's the thing about this feud. This is a feud that has started and stopped for a long time, and they've never committed into a full feud. And maybe finally it can happen.
Yeah. I totally bit on the Ascension. Connor was, I guess, what, like a Mad Max kind of thing coming out, and then I was like, oh man, they got this new gear, and then I totally bit on the Fall of Man near fall, and then Gable came in on the screen and broke it up. But yeah, it was I actually liked the last little bit. I thought especially Victor looked really good. Rick Victor is a really hard worker. He's actually pretty decent. Connor stinks, but so I can see Rick Victor being popular because he works really hard.
Connor has the build now of every guy from like 1978 WWF. He was like a big burly guy who kind of stinks, but you know, he's there.
Moose Monroe.
He's better than Moose Monroe. But he's definitely Bobby Duncan, you know.
But
Bobby Duncan guy was getting world title shots at
yeah,
back.
Dude, yeah, so was Moose Monroe.
But yeah, Stan Stasiak. Gosh. That's Connor.
Changing up the tag division, you know, I think would help. It's weird. I mean, you know, guys like the Vaudevillains are barely even on TV. Although I think Simon Gotch's behavior is a part of that. I think his backstage issues have bled into his ability to get screen time.
Him and Sin Cara.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's also a matter of like okay, what's hot? And
sure,
women are hot, and these women on SmackDown are hot, and they deserve segments. So what's going to be on the back burner? And you know, if I mean,
out
right now, and right now in NXT, tag teams are super hot, and they're doing tag team stuff. But on SmackDown, it's like people are more invested in the women. So,
and Alpha is just floundering. Their heat was pretty much almost non-existent again tonight. There was people that were giving them applause when they won, but Slater and Rhino was more over than they were. Alpha really needs somebody. I mean, Revival needs to come up bad. Hopefully that'll happen after the next takeover, after Mania, and they'll, you know, join them on SmackDown because they need them bad.
They do.
And they need somebody to play off of.
They do, because as much as you want to like them as baby faces, Alpha got their start as heels and were a lot more entertaining as heels, I thought.
I agree.
And their best as baby faces program was against the Ascension, because the Ascension are just the perfect bad guys, you know, for them. You know, yeah, it's when the Ascension, when the Revival get up there, I think you're going to see some shit, man, because those guys are just too good.
It needs to happen the worst way, definitely, for everybody.
So they'll be on Raw.
All right.
Raw.
Who knows? They both could end up being on Raw, because I would think a draft. Maybe, I don't know if they'll do a draft after Mania or how they're going to do a draft this year. So who knows? It'll be interesting. All right. Next match, we have Nikki Bella versus Natalya. Now, this feud here has had some of the best promos on television. I mean, these two right here have been going at it fiercely, throwing all kinds of inside stuff, playing off Total Divas. I mean, some hard-hitting remarks. And then we had the match tonight, and we've had all these angles and all this other stuff, but wow, did this start off bad. It started off, I mean, lots of, like, shitty mat work and slow pacing, and I was really getting tired in Italia doing the John Cena. You can't see me. It was becoming overkill way fast. I did like Natalya going after Mama Bella there. I was hoping for Big Johnny to come rolling out in the Pico Power scooter or something. But it picked up it later on. Nikki looked really good at the end. Her STF is way better than John Cena's STF. I mean, she cranks that motherfucker in.
It's not the STF. It's the Fearless Lock.
Fearless Lock, STF. It's whatever. And it led to the finish, which was a cheap non-finish, which I kind of didn't care for in this match. But I really didn't, because I think you got to we're in Mania season. It's time to start building the Mania, which they kind of did later after the match. But I don't know. Devin, what are your thoughts about this situation?
Well, I've really enjoyed this feud on TV. I've really liked their pull-apart brawls. And the promos have been fun and entertaining. But this is a match that I think is good in a vacuum, but in context, for me personally, I think it should have been a brawl that went about 7 or 8 minutes. And we didn't do that. I think the match that they did work was fine. I thought it was good, especially in the closing minutes. And they ended the match in a nasty brawl, which was good. And the post-match was very good. But I wish that they would have done that and condensed the match a little bit and worked a really physical brawl. And that, that soured me on the match. What they did wasn't bad. I just think that it didn't really fit within, when you're attacking and the personal rivalry and feud that they're having, I expected something more. But I suppose they're going to have a brawl on SmackDown, or at least maybe a stipulation match of some kind. It looks like they might be leading to that. But this felt like a match that could have been the feud.
They got time.
But
yeah, they got time to do something, because, I mean, they don't have another pay-per-view until Mania. So they got time to resolve this. But
sure.
I don't know. This just kind of was, finish-wise. But we did get the deal later.
Right.
Which I guess we'll go ahead, we can go ahead and talk about it now.
Yeah.
Where Nikki was saying backstage that it wasn't over, and they started brawling. But in the brawl, Nikki got knocked into Maryse, who was powdering herself, and powder went all over Maryse, knocked her down, and that's the Mania match right there. Is seen in Nikki versus Miz and Maryse.
The seeds were planted really on Talking Smack on Tuesday when they weaved in the Cena came in and ended up talking publicly about the relationship with he and Nikki, and he also said, I think this is a detail that could be brought up, where he said that only he and AJ Styles were on their best runs, and that everybody else was below them. We'll get to the chamber match, but you got Nikki knocking the powder all over Maryse. So those seeds are planted for that feud. And it looks like all the rumors are coming true this year, which is interesting. I think is an interesting note to take, because sometimes the rumors will be all bullshit, and this year they're actually quite accurate. So
yeah. Now Johnny Nanny, I've seen people say that she's just too unconvincing as a heel.
Really?
Yeah. As far as her, work and stuff like that. Now, I can't see where people would get that from her promos and stuff like that, because she's, been very strong in that department. Mm-hmm. I mean, really strong for her. But I don't know. This feud, I mean, like Devin said, you kind of expected this to be a hate-filled type match, yep. And it just didn't work out that way at the beginning.
Here's the thing, okay? Number one, yes, all the promos and stuff, everything, this has been great hate-filled, and that's what I thought they brought to this match. I thought everything felt, even if stuff was slumpy, I was like, I feel like these two people legitimately hate each other, and this isn't acting. That this isn't phony. They brought that, and that's all I need. I'm like, that's make me think that you guys really want to fucking fight. And one of the points, and it was kept getting brought up, was that Natty's like, you're not a wrestler, I'm a wrestler. So they kept going to that, and that's why you saw all the moves and stuff, because it was about wrestling. That was one of the points of this. And of course the point is, and I was like, this, I was thinking, this better be a double count out. This needs to be a double count out. And it's exactly what it was. And I'm like, that's perfect. The end leads to the brawling. And of course they're going to now take this to, you know, yet again, a historic time where women are going to be able to have, oh, God knows, another cage or shit, give him a fucking dog collar. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's going to be like a brawl. And they're working to it. But the point, they can make it a point where, oh, Natalya's surprised and Nikki can wrestle too. But at the end of the day, of all the matches I'm watching, where do I think these two people really hate each other? And that was this match. And it just exuded from it, I thought. And I was like, I'm not a Nikki Bella fan. I'm like, yeah, she's improved a ton, but I'm still not a huge fan. And I think Natalya's fine. But this had the most emotion and story that made sense. And I see where they're going with it. Now, granted, I'd like to see them, you know, covered in blood at the end of this. That's not going to happen. But, you know, this is what captures that to me. I enjoyed this so much more than I thought I was going to. I think you guys are bonkers.
I mean, it is what it is, but I thought there was another match on this show that would have way more of a chaotic feel to it that we'll talk about in a little bit. That this one.
Well, I'm talking about the women's division. So,
I'm talking about the women's division too. Ooh, that's there's okay. One more to go.
Interesting.
All right. Ooh. So, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. It's going to continue, and I guess we'll have to see what happens on SmackDown coming up.
Can we take,
all right, next match.
Just 4 minutes so I can run to the bathroom.
What?
Go to the bathroom. Just break for a second.
I'm recording live, Johnny.
Don't you edit?
No, I don't edit. I send it straight.
Oh, well, you all just heard that then. I'll be gone for a second. Sorry.
All right, Johnny's going to the bathroom. Thanks, John. Johnny's going to the bathroom. He's a professional podcaster, folks. All right, moving on. Randy Orton versus Luke Harper. This was probably the match I was looking forward to the most in this show other than the Chamber. The build for this feud has been going for months. It started with Luke Harper with his staring at Randy Orton once Randy Orton became a member of the Wyatts, and they just built until we finally had the explosion and Luke and Bray having their problems. And led to this match where they're fighting for, I guess, Bray's love and affection in a lot of ways. And this is another one that, you know, God, the start of this match was so slow and dull. I mean, there were a few things that was, you know, that was intermixed here and there where Harper was doing some things. And, you know, we had Randy Orton in this never-ending war with announced tables still continuing. We're none on break. And, you know, there's things that happened. God damn, those chin locks just kept coming and coming and coming. The crowd was falling asleep, basically. And all of a sudden, you know, they do a couple quick high spots and boom, this is awesome. This is awesome. You know, but, and after that, that's when it really picked up. And this is a tale of two matches. The second half of it was, you know, really, really strong. But, Orton gets the RKO to win. I guess it's the right finish for what they're going for.
Sure.
I was hoping that we were going to get a three-way at Mania between Orton, Bray, and Harper. I would have loved to have had Harper mixing that mixed into that because he fucking deserves it.
Yeah,
that guy is a tremendous worker.
I've got a theory on this this program that I think that I.
But you can put that out there. But Daniel Bryan kind of hinted on Talking Smack tonight, reading from what people are saying, that he's foreshadowing that we may not even get the Mania match we think we're getting. So, but anyway, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I mean, this ended up being a very strong match. So, Devin, what'd you think of Orton and Hopper?
I thought it was really good. I was worried about the pacing at first. You know, Randy Orton on top can be slow and boring at times. But I actually think it actually benefited in that the first half of the match helped the second half of the match get over because it's hard. The fans aren't going to cheer Luke Harper over Randy Orton, and Luke Harper was working as the babyface in this match. So I think the way that they paced this match helped Harper get over in the second half of the match, and I thought that they built it really well, and I thought the near falls and stretch run was really, really, really good. And I thought Harper looked strong, and I think they did a good job of protecting his lariat. I thought the finish was good too. Orton blocking the lariat with his block there in the RKO. But yeah, I thought it was a good match, a really good match. Harper took some big bumps in that match. The backdrop on the table was a big bump. The power slam on the floor, the superplex. Harper's a really, really, really good wrestler, and I agree with you. He deserves a ton of credit and a ton of just recognition because I mean the guy's a really good wrestler and he busts his ass. And it would have been neat to have a triple threat match for the title, although I never really thought that would be the direction they're going in. My theory on this angle is that Bray is plotting with they're plotting together, and they're actually. Potentially playing a long game on Randy Orton, and Orton's actually all in on being a Wyatt. And Harper has gotten into Bray's ear, and I think they're going to pull the. I think it's possible they pull the like the 95 Horseman thing on Sting, where they like the Flair Arn match at Fall Brawl, and then they pull the switch on Orton on TV, and then I think Eric Rowan's going to come back, and they're all going to triple team Randy Orton, and it's going to be. Bray Orton for the belt.
Yeah, well, that would be the double switcheroo because with the story going, because I've totally felt the whole point of this was that Randy Orton was infiltrating them to destroy them from within. So if they're also going, we know what you're doing, Randy Orton, but we're one step ahead of you. That's very complicated.
I actually think that's what it is, though. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I wouldn't shock me if that's what it was. I mean, it might not be. I mean, if they're going to have Orton and Bray, they're going to have to get to that match in some way. So,
well, the thing is I think if they do Bray and Orton, but Bray goes over. I think Bray has to go over at Mania over Orton, and then you do Bray and Harper. That's the singles feud right there. I mean, you got to do something with them too now. I mean, it needs to happen with this. And I think that's where you go after Mania, you know, whatever you're going to do, you know, if you do Bray and Orton rematch or whatever, they got to do Bray and Harper coming up. But it would not surprise me that if your scenario played out that way and Daniel Bryan Talking Smack basically intimated that he doesn't think Orton and Wyatt's going to be at Mania. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't. Who knows if it's a character or what? Daniel Bryan, that show's a wild card. But it sounds like they're going to do some deal where, you know, they're going to have Bray defend the title on SmackDown or something against somebody. So who knows?
Or maybe that's just Daniel Bryan being like, you know, you never know what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah,
30. No one thought that was gonna happen.
But this thing is though, it's like, you know, Devin said, all the rumors are coming true. There's no swerves so far right now for Mania. They're going the big Mania match. Yeah,
I just want to. First of all, I thought this match was fucking tremendous. I loved this, and it truly was the the Luke Harper coming out party that they beat you over the head with on commentary the entire match. The first time JBL and them brought up, like, this is it. This is the, you know, he's unleashed and he's not being held back by Bray anymore, as far as Luke goes. And this is the match of his career. The first time they said that, I was like, yep, that's exactly what I'm thinking. My argument going in when I thought, like, he's going to lose. Then I even doubted that at one point during this match, which tells you how good I thought it was. But I was like, okay, they're putting over, this is it, man. That's how you get it over to people. Like, well, Luke Harper is something. Look at this amazing match he just had. It's just coming out. And they never stopped beating you over the head with it until it convinced you he was going to be losing. They didn't stop talking about win, lose, or draw. You know, Luke Harper has shown something tonight. And they kept going to that well over and over on commentary. I was like, okay, you're kind of giving away the finish. Stop it. Stop it. You know, I get it. You're trying to put over how awesome Luke Harper is, and he is, and he was in this match, but they went a little too far on commentary basically to give away the finish, you know, so, which is it was my only problem with this. I thought this over-delivered. It was the best Randy Orton match I've seen in forever, and they both looked like they were just having a bunch of fun out there, just blasting each other and having a great match. I thought this might be my favorite match of the night, to be perfectly honest with you.
Interesting, interesting. All right, now comes a match that totally exceeded my expectations. And this is a match that of the three women's matches, I thought was the best of all three, because I loved the total, like, chaotic-ish feel that we had here between these two, Alexa Bliss and Naomi, at the start of this match, where it was it on point and everything crisp and everything? No, it came off as, you know, it wasn't always clean. There's a lot of sloppiness going on. But I mean, I thought they put some emotion into this. I dug it a lot. The finish was definitely sloppy because Naomi didn't hit the moonsault clean. There was some other issues there before that. But both of them worked their asses off. Naomi got the big win, which, you know, people forget she was supposed to win the title 2 years ago, you know, and it just didn't happen. But she finally got the belt after being off television for months, and they finally bring her back and put the belt on her, and she's going to, you know, it looks like head into Mania and going to her hometown as champion. Who knows? But, it was a great moment after the match, but Alexa, God, she's easily one of the most improved workers in that whole roster, male or female. She's fantastic. You know, she's great in every way, character wise, just her mannerisms. She's getting really good in the ring. I may make the argument right now, she may be the best female they got on main roster. Work wise, and I mean, just total package.
Yeah, total package wise. Total package wise, I agree, 100%.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if I would have took the belt off of her this quick, but it is what it is. Johnny, what did you think about the match?
Really enjoyed it. I did love reading beforehand, like, this is guaranteed to stink, and I was like, I don't think so. And then they fucking just delivered, and I love the story they were telling. The story here is that Alexa's she's won the belt. She's, you know, fought the, you know, that is off of Becky, who's a big star, and Naomi is an underdog, and she doesn't sweat her at first. You know, she does puts her gum on her face and shit like that. Like, whatever you. And that's what they played up on SmackDown. She's like, yeah, you're just another challenge, and they play that storyline to the hilt here. And I thought, yeah, very chaotic. I love how they covered the finish by saying, oh, look, her knee went right into her ribs, which it did look like it did do. So it was like, boom. And I love that sort of surprise. For whatever reason, I saw it coming. I was like, I think this is going to be your underdog, out of nowhere, gets the win, deal that you don't expect. And that's what they did. I loved it. Alexa Bliss is so good. She's so good. Naomi is a wonderful baby face too, by the way. Hers a heel never worked. She's a great baby face.
And her entrance, and her
Yeah,
entrance
the
is
entrance
great
is
for a character.
amazing.
Yeah.
But Alexa Bliss pulls off every little thing with her facial expressions to at a level that nobody else does. She could just do one little eye roll and express so much emotion on the screen. I mean, she's really something special. And I thought this was surprisingly, I didn't think it was going to stink. I thought they're both really good, but I agree. I thought this was tremendous. I didn't like it as much as the other one, for because I just thought they brought the hate more in Nikki and Natty, but this was more fun and definitely chaotic, like you said. And I love the finish. I was like, didn't I kind of thought it would happen, but I guess no one else saw it coming. And it was a huge pop. They had the great. And although I do have to say, and in Naomi's victory speech, and then on commentary, I had no idea that that dumb fucking dummy from Dr. Phil and that meme has become so big that it's
Oh, Cash Me
Cash Me
Outside.
Outside. Cash Me.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge,
No,
what the hell?
I'm here's the thing. I'm aware of how big it's gotten, but this is WWE wrestling historically behind the times on shit. And then I got to hear that shit on my wrestling. And I was like, stop it. Fucking stop it. It was
Yeah.
fucking Moro and Otunga doing the Cash Me Outside jokes while JBL probably just looked at them going, what the fuck are you talking?
Yeah, he's busy in Bermuda, He's not listening, watching Dr. Phil or doing
Look,
any of that stuff.
I am on Dr. Phil's boat. It's me, Ron White, and Dr. Phil just hanging out.
Well, I can only imagine that party. My God. Tater salad up there with his
I
socks and
actually say that
shit.
because one of on Ron White's latest special, he's got a long bit about him being on Dr. Phil's boat and getting so drunk that he embarrassed himself. So.
Oh, tater salad. He's a treasure. That's for damn sure. But Devin, what'd you think about this? Like I said, I think the reason why I liked so much was just the nature of the match. This match kind of felt like something that we would see on like a WWN live show. It just it was again technically not the best match, but it just I don't know. It just had this feeling of like it was something to be on the indie show somewhere where these girls just going out there and doing shit and maybe botching some spots or whatever and. But just, I don't know, it just had a cool vibe to me.
Yeah, I liked it okay. I didn't love it. It was fine. I thought they both worked their asses off, which I mean they
And
really
for
really.
Naomi, that's a lot of work.
I mean, they really worked hard in this match, and Naomi's pop for the win was huge. I actually like I looked at the betting lines because. Wrestling has betting lines, and Naomi was predicted to win. And Dylan and I's theory is that someone in WWE, someone high up, basically just calls up Vegas and is like, "Okay, so I know all the winners, so I'm gonna get." And they're the ones who put in all the predictions because the betting lines have been like 100% correct in the last couple of months. So
If you
I'm
wait, hold on,
telling you,
hold on.
I'm telling
If
you.
you can bet on
Go ahead,
wrestling in Vegas, I'm gonna go get rich. Okay.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you what WWE needs is they need to find them a fucking Jimmy the Greek Schneider. to be on the pre-shows to go over all these odds and, you know, do this. Really? Brent Musburger's retired now. I mean, that's what he's doing.
Someone is illegally making a lot of money predicting on these WWE matches in WWE front office. They have to be.
Well, I was like, Jimmy the Greek, and he's like, well, it's no wonder Naomi won, you know.
He was bred that way. Yeah, the black athlete.
get your most glow slave.
Oh, shit.
And you make a big glow slave.
Yeah, I like the match fine. I thought, you know, Chris, you like the sloppiness. Like, I thought it was kind of a mess in the last few spots. I couldn't think it was awful.
It was at the end. It was at the end, yes.
But the match was effective. The crowd popped huge for Naomi, and that was a really cool moment for her. So it have been. I don't know where they're going to go. It's going to be interesting because, you know, Naomi winning the title was a surprise. So we'll see what happens. No,
it's what you said. It's going to be a multi-person women match.
It's going to be the multi-person women.
And Naomi's going to get the huge hometown pop. That's
yep.
Definitely what they're going to do.
Probably right.
I mean, that's the way. I mean, Raw's looking like a four-way, and this is looking like a multi. So, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. But I mean, and yeah, I will grant you that. Like, I totally agreed that the last, you know, little bit of that match, the botches were really bad.
They did. It was, I mean, she did the moonsault first, and there was a definite botch. And then they did a moonsault again, and it looked like there was going to be another one. But at least it looked like she connected with a knee in the side. And
right,
then
and
these announcers who've been accusing each other of being drunk all night, they covered that huge. Like, oh, did you see that? You know, so it worked.
Yeah. All right. Main event time. The Chamber. The new Elimination Chamber. Ooh. Which, you know, they had been pimping. This was when we were having a new chamber. And they were right. I mean, we got a new chamber. And we had John Cena defending the title, WWE World title, against AJ Styles, The Miz, Baron Corbin, Dean Ambrose, and Bray Wyatt. Started off with Cena and Styles, which was interesting. I figured AJ was going to start. Wasn't sure about Cena, and then they went ahead and did that. And Ambrose coming out next was kind of interesting to me, because that meant that the next three guys were all heels. But I thought you would have saved, you know, one of your baby faces till later on, you know, to come out. But it all worked in the end, and this was a hell of a fucking damn match.
Yeah, it was.
John Cena, for a guy who has everything that he has, you know, he's on television, Today Show, hosting award shows, doing movies. To do the stuff he does, especially that running plancha off that fucking pod, was crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy for a guy like that. I mean, Big Match John definitely, you know, was in full force here. AJ Styles is a lunatic, as usual. He is the best in the world. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He is just amazing. And everybody else stepped up to the plate here in different ways. But one thing I want to bring up is this chamber, while it's better for them production-wise, it makes for, you know, the better spots.
They did on that top of the because pods. They can get they did that so they can do more spots. That's why I think it's why the padding
exactly.
there too.
And I don't like the
padding.
I love the old
padding.
Chamber.
I don't like the padding either. I think it's kind of wimpy.
It's hokey. Yeah.
Then again,
the old chamber had that grimy look. Yeah. You know, it looked like they took a bunch of guys, you know, that were taking welding classes and put them out there and made this structure. While the new chamber is like this perfectly set up structure. And it resembles more of the Hell in a Cell than it's ever resembled. And that's why Mauro may have got fucking confused so much, because it looked like a damn Hell in a Cell.
I don't think that's why he got fucking confused.
Well, no, but still, I mean, it was, I don't know, I'm kind of torn on
you
it.
Know
I mean,
what?
I do like
I,
the fact
I,
that
I,
we're
okay,
got
okay,
better spots.
I kind of thought the same thing, because I remember being like, man, that whole thing was the fucking worst. And here's the thing. I've heard enough interviews with guys where they're just like, we hate this fucking thing. That,
well, during the show. I mean, that video on the show, you know, where you're talking
but totally on the podcast where they're like, you know what? Where I've heard guys go, you know what sucks? We take a body slam onto that outside. There's no bounce. There's no sound. So it doesn't pop the crowd, and we get our backs broken. So I get it.
It's safer. It's definitely safer, and that's fine. That's great. You know, but it's still,
from a production standpoint, to be perfectly honest with you, I like seeing the guys stand on top of the pods without having to crouch.
That was cool.
You know, without crouch. You know, when RVD almost murdered fucking Triple H by landing on his throat from the crouch and shit, you know, and I get it, but I'm like, look, this is a television production. I want to see it done well.
Yeah, I mean, there's good and bad. There's good and bad both ways.
Sure, there's a lot of fucking still crazy shit because it wasn't like those padded parts around weren't exactly like trampolines. When Cena fell off of the side of the fucking thing and hits that thing, there was not a lot of give on it.
No.
It was like,
when Ambrose gave AJ that suplex driver
Jesus Christ, that suplex driver. I popped out of my chair like worried about him. I'm like, holy. No give.
Yeah, I mean, there was some crazy stuff, even with that pad, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's almost like, okay, we'll trade you. Okay, here's what they did. We'll trade you the grill for a boxing ring. That doesn't give.
Yeah.
The grill, but and like, JBL even did, like, and this was crazy. When I saw Umaga trying to walk on it in bare feet and said it hurt, I knew how much it hurt. And I was like, oh, I don't know how much I like that. It's like, you just made a mug and look like he's going, ouch, ouch, ouch. I was like,
yeah. All right. Johnny, what were your thoughts on everything that happened here?
Everyone just worked their asses off. I loved the fact that there was a stage for them to stand on and do all this shit. And in the middle, and AJ is, as you said, fucking A, insane, B, the best. He's the best. The best in the world. I loved as each guy was coming down the ring and how they, you know, sell, how they approach it. And my two favorite were Miz, because they made it clear, like, well, Miz is one of the only guys besides Cena who's actually been in this before. And that's why he's, you know, like, oh, he had this great look on his face, like, shit, I know what I'm about to go through. And AJ comes out, and he don't sweat this whatsoever. And it's great for his character, which is also really becoming a, I want to say Cena-esque character, in as he's getting cheers. They showed them huge AJ Styles songs.
Well, he's been getting cheered forever, though, too. I mean, the fans love AJ
Styles.
It's
really getting to a point where it's kind of hard to boo him. You know, it's hard for people to boo the best fucking wrestler in the world.
And if they do AJ and Shane at Mania, ooh, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough
and
for
you
Shane.
You know what? Maybe that'd be fun to see Shane being a douchebag McMahon and AJ fucking owns him. You know, that could be fun. But AJ climbing that cage like Spider-Man. Constantly was I kept like, dude, like, you're gonna hurt yourself. I thought Bray Wyatt looked awesome. I thought everyone fucking. I thought Ambrose during his big entrance here heat sequence just came off perfectly. I'm not the hugest fan of the Elimination Chamber. You know, some of them are great, and I think others just are boring and contrived. I thought this one just really came through. Like, I'm like, everyone in this ring is really fucking good. And they all came through. Miz playing his character perfectly. Perfectly. Like, he's the last one out, and he's waiting until boom, and he sees for his opportunity to pin Ambrose. It comes in, and then it's Miz-a-mania. Miz turns around and he kicks everybody's ass. He does the skull crushing finale on Wyatt onto the, you know, on the outside, and kicks everybody's ass, just showing that he's that kind of a heel. Yeah, he's cowardly, but as soon as he gets an advantage, he'll kick your ass too. But you get Cena finally gets his hands on him, and then it goes to where it goes. I thought Miz was tremendous in this. I adored it, and I know that everyone was like saying, it's like, well, it's going to be Wyatt winning it, and that's exactly what happened. I have no problem with it, especially that nice long finishing sequence between Wyatt and AJ, which I thought was just fantastic. I'm going to see those guys in a long singles match now, basically because AJ at this point, again, is the best in the world. How do you have a bad match with that guy?
Oh, absolutely. 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 Now, two things, Devin, that I did have an issue with in this match. One, I did not like the way Baron Corbin was eliminated. I know it's setting up Mania, and he got to kick Ambrose's ass afterwards. But I did not like the roll up as a. I just saw it earlier in the show. I did not like it one bit. And two, I thought The Miz got cheated in this whole thing. I mean, he was the last man in. He got to do some stuff. He had his offense.
He kicked everybody. He's The Miz, and he got to kick everybody's
ass. He ate one AA, and he was gone. After, you know, that move right there has been, you know, I wouldn't say killed, but, I mean, we've seen so many guys take so many of them and come back, and Miz just gets one AA, and he's gone. And that's supposed to be the Mania match. You know, Cena and Nikki against Miz and Maryse. I think I would have put... had Miz go over Cena here, cost him the title.
No, but see, but to see, build but see, that he, up he's even more. Miz. He's still supposed to be the guy they kind of say, well, you can't wrestle. And all of the offense he got there was...
We're past
all of that. No, they just did it fucking last week. In the ring, Daniel Bryan told him he can't wrestle.
Well, that's Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, with that everyone listens to. And
which a few did not even nothing with.
Which is fine, because that happens sometimes. Anyway, that's a different story. But... Miz ran the gauntlet of beating everyone up real quick by taking advantage of them. But as soon as, you know, Cena gets them, because the Miz is a consummate fucking cowardly heel who stinks. I had no problem with that.
I understand that Wyatt needed to go over Cena and AJ to make himself look strong. But still, I think Miz should have went over Cena. But what were your thoughts about the match, Devin?
I thought this match was excellent. I thought it was a really, really, really great match. AJ and Cena starting out the match, I think, was cool and in a lot of ways smart to get the crowd really, really amped up into the match to start, and it worked. AJ Styles is the best in the world. I have been running in my head trying to think of all the crazy bumps he took in this match, and I can't count them all, because he took an insane bump. Every time somebody new came in, he would go flying into the cage or get murdered by Ambrose and take an insane bump on the outside. Just he was the star of the match. He held the match together. He was incredible. And he's just amazing. Corbin's elimination was I just didn't like the roll up. I would have preferred the Dirty Deeds or something, or maybe the roll up being a little bit tighter. It looked a little bit weak in execution, I think, is my big problem with that. As far as him being eliminated the way it was, I wasn't, you know, that much of a problem to me. It was just the execution of it, I think, was off. But, you know, he got his heat back, beat up Ambrose. Miz was, in a lot of ways, I thought Miz was kind of the second best guy in the match, although Cena was excellent too. Miz's facial expressions in the chamber and in the pod when he wasn't in the match, the camera kept panning over to him, were amazing. Like, he looked mortified. You know, every time you know, someone would like die in a huge bump, Miz looked like he was about to shit his pants, and that carried over into his entrance into the match. where he kind of waited and then looked scared to death Aaron Corbin and then picked his spots by eliminating Ambrose, which is a nice callback to their TV feud last month. But yeah, I thought this match was really, really good. I thought they had to have, I thought it was a brilliant booking, and I thought they had to have Bray beat Cena and AJ by himself. He beat him clean, both by himself. So it made him look like he earned it and deserved and won this title, and he looks like the best guy in the match in a lot of ways. And, you know, he came out to, I think it was, what, fourth in the match? So he worked a good while in the match, too. So Bray looked really, really, really strong, which I think is important because I think the potential Orton title program is a program that needs the title, and Bray needs to look strong. And so they definitely did that because, in my opinion, Cena and AJ are the two biggest stars in WWE that work full-time. I know Cena's technically kind of part-time now, but, you know, they're basically both full-time still. So when he got that win against those two guys clean, that was huge for him. And also, you know.
Especially over Cena.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he.
Because he never got to go over Cena.
Yeah. Yep. He looked really good in that. And, of course, AJ and Cena losing. They were in the match the entire time, so they were hurt and worn out. And so, in a way, they're both protected because they've been busting their ass the whole match. You know, it makes sense that they would fall against a really good wrestler at the end of the match. But, yeah, I thought this was a really, really, really awesome match.
Yeah, I just want to mention one last thing. Is I love that they started with Cena and AJ. And then they kept going back to it during the match whenever they had a chance. Yeah. It was those guys. Because, and this is a point I wanted to make, it's rare when you get to see a feud that becomes something as a wrestling fan, you know, this is a feud of the ages that you're like, really, this is good shit. Right. And AJ and John Cena over the last year, of all the things that if you had told me 10 years ago, you know, it's going to be a feud of the ages that you're going to remember forever. AJ Styles, that guy right there. And John Cena, the rapping dude. You're like, what? You know, yeah, the guy I don't like on the indies versus the rapping dude. Really? And it's been perfect. Everything about their feud has been perfectly booked to where in this match, whenever it became them, it was their story continuing. And yes, it could be a never-ending story between these two guys. And it's perfect because he's the guy who nothing but WWF system and the guy who did everything but WWF. And they're the two best in the world. And they carry that into this match. And that energy and that story is, I think, one of my favorite things of this past year in WWF.
Yeah. I mean, AJ and Cena, you know, that's been the best feud in ring that they've had in a while, a long while. Just tremendous matches across the board, and they continue tonight. And we'll see where we go from here. You know, will we get Bray and Orton at Mania? Or, you know, Daniel Bryan kind of hinted that it may not happen. You know, then Cena and Nikki against Miz and Maryse is where we're going in that direction.
Do you think maybe they'll put them on the outside? That they'll put the ladies on the outside during that? Because Maryse, is she training? I mean, what's I don't get it.
That's part of the story. It's Nikki's last match for a while. Yeah. She's leaving to go on a hiatus.
Because I would love to see Cena Miz. Yeah, but
yeah.
You
know,
yeah, but I think that's the whole dynamic of the match is the women involved. And it gets Maryse out of retirement, first time she's worked in years. So, you know, and I'm definitely pretty sure this is all being built for Total Divas.
Yeah.
Just like I think Naomi's win. I think Naomi's win is a Total Divas storyline as well. Even though it makes sense for her to win it, I would just say I think it's Total Divas related.
I mean, that's fine when it works like this does, but I'm thinking like, you know, I'm thinking, when they ruined Maryse the last time was when they made her a wrestler. So don't do it again.
Well, I mean, this is understandable considering, you know, the situation. And she's not going to be an active wrestler from here on out. I mean, just a one and done. It's, and Mania, it's fine because Mania is like the Super Bowl. It's a spectacle.
You know, I know, but
it's its own deal, you know. And, you know, Baron Corbin and Ambrose looks like the way to go for the Intercontinental title. So it looks like maybe we'll get an Intercontinental title match this year without it being held up in a ladder. So, SmackDown's got a lot of stuff going on, you know, as far as the stories. The women, we talk about maybe a multi-woman match. America Down for somebody in a tag match, you know, Mania, or maybe doing a I wouldn't think they'd do another multi-tag, but who knows? You can never tell. So they got stuff going on. Raw's got their own stuff going on, and we'll be talking about them in, what, 2 weeks?
3 weeks.
When's Fastlane?
Three weeks.
So it's the...
That's a loaded
It's the day after the SCR.
Yeah, it is. Same weekend. That's a loaded card Fastlane is. Jeez.
Yeah, Fastlane's loaded. And so Raw, you know, they had their directions going towards Mania, although Rollins is up in the air. So this Mania season looks like one of the best Mania seasons we're going to have. Mm. We've had in a while.
I agree.
Read something that said that they feel that Rollins will be Mania ready.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll probably be involved. I don't know how much he'll do. Yeah, I don't know how much he'll be able to do. I don't know if he'll be fully 100% ready to do what he can, but I think they'll do enough to make it work.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and there's so much other stuff going on. You know, this is definitely looking way better this year than it did last year.
I think so too, for sure.
So that's something we gotta be excited about. All right. This show. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Devin, you start off.
I'm gonna give it a thumbs up, not a big one, but I thought it was a really, really solid show. A couple of really good matches. I'm still looking forward to Mania, so they did their job.
Johnny?
I love a show that starts out with me thinking that this may be, it'll be okay. That blows me away because I had lessened expectations, and that's what this was. I give this a big thumbs up.
And I'll give it a slight thumbs up. The chamber match was pretty damn awesome. I mean, some chamber matches aren't always that way, but everything made sense just about, and a lot of great work in the match, just a lot of great bumps. A lot of cool things going on. So, yeah, I will be in agreement with you, too. So, definitely worth the time and your money this month. All right. We will see you guys in a couple of 3 weeks for the Fastlane show. Of course, check me out on Between the Sheets every Monday on PlaceForNation.com. This week, we go back to 1996, talking about the saga of Brian Pillman.
Mm.
At Super Brawl 6, and the first big one, all the lunacy going on there, Vince McMahon going completely nuts in the New York Times and Wall Street Journal regarding Ted Turner and Billionaire Ted, and if you love Mr. Corey Macklin, we got a treat for you this week, and Brad Stutz joins us.
Stutzy.
Stutzy joins us for the WCW segment. Johnny, you have a big thing to plug. Boy. Which should be coming out, yes. When is the final episode of Titans going to be hit?
Well, we were running into some technical difficulties. It's recorded. We recorded the final Titans of Wrestling on Super Bowl Sunday, early in the morning, by the way. And I just want to say, it's we couldn't have gone out better. All the old energy was back, and we killed it. And it'll be the end when it's edited and finally out in typical Titans fashion. Just wait and see.
So it's coming, folks. Just you've been warned. It's coming.
Yeah, one thing we could never be accused of is flooding the market.
Yeah, Titans was one of the early stalwarts of this network, and
it was time, because I was going real quick. This was a thing that a bunch of guys who never talked before got thrown together to do a show, and we accidentally discovered that we had an amazing chemistry, and it was the best. I've done internet radio now for since like 2002, and it was the best show I've been a part of. But it was time to go. You know, you always got to know when it's time to fucking sign off. You don't want to hang around too long.
Got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. That's a gambler once saying.
You don't want to stick around forever like some show that ends and it stinks. You know, you want to fucking go on.
Or most wrestlers.
Yeah, that too. But when it comes out, I hope everyone checks it out. It's we talk about a lot of really cool matches and share some memories. A tear or two is shed by Parv. It's wonderful.
Well, that's nice that there was got emotional there.
Oh no, we turned into a bunch of whining pussies.
Well, that's great. That's great. So be on the lookout for that coming up in the near future. So anyway, thanks guys for doing the show. Thank you guys for listening. And we will be back in 3 weeks with Fastlane. See ya.